From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for the 29th of July, 2022. The Brew Crew is in Boston this weekend for a series with the Red Sox. Also this weekend, it's German Fest, the South Milwaukee Heritage Days. On Saturday, it's Brady Street Festival, and a whole lot more. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a festival in this weekend. Let's start with a bit of weirdness. Velveeta unveiled the new martini with cheese-infused vodka. In case you missed that, it's cheese-infused vodka. And the cheese tini is garnished with pasta shells. I hope this helps the dairy farmers in Wisconsin, because it sure isn't going to do much for vodka sales. I've got a couple of animal stories. At a Louisiana exotic bird sanctuary, they have a very smart parrot named Thor. Thor figured out how to unlock the kangaroo enclosure. The result was a couple of free-range kangaroos hopping around Louisiana. After the zoo figured out Thor was the mastermind, they changed to a parrot-proof lock. Who knew there was such a thing? I think we're going to hear from Thor again. And at the National Zoo in Switzerland, three elephants have died from herpes since June. Apparently, elephants don't use protection. A Springfield, Massachusetts man filed a class action lawsuit against Bass Pro Shops. He says the store refused to honor their own lifetime warranty on their woolen socks. His plan, sue Bass Pro Shops, settle out of court, and never pay for socks again for the rest of his barefoot life. And finally, a Florida man broke into a pharmacy to steal opioids. But because he's not a pharmacist or a rocket scientist, he mistakenly stole laxatives. On the podcast today, we have Dave Sandstrom, Kendall Bauer, Joel Driesing, and wrapping up the week, here's Brian Kelp.
Hang on, Max. I'm catching my breath here, man. Yeah, what a great week, right? It's so interesting, I think, in the short run to go week to week and see how we kind of bounce around. But just ended up being just a terrific week. It looks like we'll end up with a pretty good month. But for the week, NASDAQ up 557 points, has 4.7% to close at 12,391. The S&P 500, a little more mainstream, up 169 points, has 4.3% to close at 4130. Dow Jones Industrial Average, which started the week at 31,899, was up 946 points. That's 3% to close at 32,845. And the 10-year is pretty quickly reverting back to a much lower level, which started the week at 2.78% and ended up at 2.64%. So, gentlemen, we got a bunch of inflation and the Fed's raising interest rates, and we had a really good week in stocks. So, just like I said, I just love things in the short term. What's your perspective on the week and where are we heading? Kendall's inflation. We should probably talk about that, right? Because we never talk about that. So, let's start with inflation and kind of how's it fold into things these days, and what are we to take from this week?
Yeah, I think that's obviously what everyone's keeping a close eye on, and I think finally we're starting to see broad signs that growth might be starting to slow. You know, I think people still hung up on the last inflation report that came out with that nasty number.
Facebook lost subscribers. Oh my God.
But no, I think we're starting to see maybe that, you know, the hikes that the Fed are doing at, you know, rates we haven't seen in a long time, right? Or sizes we haven't seen in a long time might be starting to actually work. So
yeah, I wonder if it isn't a, David, you like to talk about the bad news, good news thing, right? Or are we seeing some slowdown, but it puts a lid on inflation and people feel better? Is that what we're seeing? Or what's your take?
Yeah, you get kind of caught in that, right in the middle of that, right, Brian? The good news about a recession is it cures inflation typically, but the bad news is it's a recession. So, yeah, you got to be careful what you wish for along that line. And it, you know, you do have to ask yourself, the Fed has a couple of key things that they do control with raising interest rates, and one of them predominantly is mortgage rates. And we've seen almost a doubling. We did see a doubling of the mortgage, 30-year mortgage has come down now to, I think, about 5.3. Joel, you might be able to confirm that. But what we are seeing is significant slowdown in mortgage originations, down about, I think it's well over 20% month over month and year over year. So I think that the things that they control, they're having impacts on. You know, the concern is, do they continue to raise rates thinking they can control things like energy prices and food prices, which historically they haven't had much control over? And I think when you start to get that aggressive, then that recession question really starts to come to the forefront.
And Dave, just to move it forward a little bit, so, you know, we know that recessions are inevitable, so, you know, eventually we'll get into a recession, but with raising the interest rates, then the Fed will have the ability to lower interest rates to stimulate the economy again to get out of the recession. But that's the whole cycle, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, Joe, the, you know, Fed funds you know, futures rate contracts are actually starting to price in a reversal already in the first quarter of next year, if you can believe that.
What's funny, right? You know, we laugh about talking about all this stuff, but does it really matter if we're in a recession or not? I mean, what matters is if we're in a bad recession or not. You know, does it really matter, like, if there's inflation is whatever, it matters if it's bad, you know? And I think to the degree that inflation in part is a behavioral thing, right? The Fed was trying to avoid scaring everybody and saying there was going to be inflation. Well, now we got a lot of inflation, and I think the Fed's trying to do just the opposite now. They're trying to tell everybody that they're going to do everything they can to keep it from being bad. But I think that's all kind of smoke and mirror stuff, and that's what drives the short term. The real important part of the day, which I think is what you're talking about, David, is what's really going on, you know? And I think, I've said this a million times, I think a modest recession might actually do us some good. Puts a little bit of a little less pressure on demand, which maybe allows some of these manufacturing, i.e. supply chain problems, to remedy themselves and allows things to smooth out a little bit. And so if you look a little longer term, then you're really trying to think, well, what of this stuff is lasting and what isn't, you know? And I think one of the big issues is housing. I think one of the others is labor. And you're just like, well, we have a labor shortage, so we're going to have to figure that out. The good news is, because we have a labor shortage, it's like everybody that needs a job has one, you know? So it's hard for me to see the economy getting too bad, because consumers play such a huge role in the economy and they're employed. But it's also hard for me to see things every just going away, because we have labor problems and those will continue to kind of plague inflation and some other problems for a while.
Brian, a lot of the discussion around recession, you know, really came to a head this week when the government gave the gross domestic product report for the second quarter, and it showed that on an annual basis it was down for the second quarter in a row. But both the first quarter and second quarter, they were down mostly because of inventories. And a lot of that is just sort of a fluctuation because of the recovery from the pandemic and, you know, all the supply chain disruptions. And, you know, we've heard reports from Walmart, Target, others, that they, you know, ordered all this stuff because people were buying things like mad during the pandemic, and then they stopped buying things like mad and they started switching their spending to more services. And so stores like that are like, what are we going to do all this stuff now? And they're writing down inventory or, you know, all that stuff. So,
well, Joel, you bring up a really good point about the distortions here. You talk about the first quarter of the year, the U.S. economy adds 1.5 million jobs. That's the fifth highest quarter on record. And yet we have a negative GDP situation. So it's hard to imagine adding that many workers, which you would, you know, I guess you would assume that they're being paid to actually produce something. And how we could have the economy shrink in that. And then we had another million in the second quarter. So the distortions from the pandemic are still obviously in play and are going to take a while to work out. We're seeing them at just about every level. Brian, you talked about the 10-year Treasury starting the year at 1.6. It bounces off a 3.5, and here we sit today at 2.6. I mean, these are types of fluctuations that are very unusual in the Treasury market within such a short time frame. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I think are going to have to play out here before we get a real good idea of where we're headed.
Well, I mean, I think we're settling in the middle somewhere, which is what you kind of think, right? It's not as bad as you thought it was going to be. It's not as good as you want it to be. I mean, that's, I like that. I like being there. And I think, you know, there's going to be some problems moving ahead. That's kind of how it always is. But some of these problems are, you know, you can see some progress. I kid about this. You guys know I ordered this car like 2.5 years ago and I got it. Well, the problem originally was in China with chips. Then the problem was getting manufactured with labor over there because of, you know, their labor problems due to COVID and whatever. Then the problem was getting it shipped. Then the problem was getting it off the ship. And then the problem was having it trucked here. So you can kind of see the supply chain literally moving from, you know, and I think that's happening in so many industries right now. And what you're going to be left with is a smoothing of the economy and yet some problems won't be solved. And we don't know what the magnitude of that is. And therefore, we don't know what the magnitude of, you know, the supply chain problems and inflation will be. But it'll probably be better than it is now. But it probably won't be as worse as we think. That's what you think, right? And I think maybe this week is a settling of that a little bit, right? Interest rates drop a little bit because we aren't as concerned about the future. You know, the tech stocks do well because interest rates are a little lower. You know, everybody takes a deep breath for a while and we see where we go from here. So I think probably the best news in all of this, as far as the stocks go, is corporate earnings continue to remain pretty strong, you know, and for all that's going on in the universe, if corporate earnings keep doing well, that's a pretty strong driver.
So. Yeah, and Brian, I think one of the other very encouraging things that we've seen in the early stages of reporting, now we don't have all the numbers, of course, not in yet for the second quarter earnings calls, but we are seeing pretty optimistic forward guidance. A lot of the analysts, I think, were baking in much more negative guidance. The expectation was that, oh boy, we're going to see a lot of gloomy expectations for the third quarter, and the corporate guidance has been actually pretty positive. And I think that was one of the other reasons we saw some, you know, some positive lift in the markets over the last couple of weeks.
And we were talking about labor and housing being two important things. Maybe that's a good transition into some of the highlights from the data pool this week. Joel, housing was, you know, showed some strain.
Right. Yeah, we had a couple of indicators on housing. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Home Price Index.
That's hard to say.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Don't ask me to say it again. So that was that shows housing prices on a national scale, and they compare them to 1 year before, and it was up 20% for May, and that's down from 21% in April. But it's still down. It's showing, you know, that it's getting weaker, but it's getting weaker off of like all-time highs. You know, that difference between 21% and 20% isn't that much when you're paying for a house. But they're seeing that the interest rates, the rise in the mortgage rates is adding to the cost of getting a house, and that's dampening the demand for housing. And we saw that in new home sales numbers from the Commerce Department this week. And we also saw that in the pending home sales index from the National Association of Realtors. They figure out that with the high prices for houses and the higher financing costs, that it's added 80% to the price of a house compared to what it was 3 years ago. They figure that 25%, one quarter of all the people who qualified, who bought a house 3 years ago, wouldn't even qualify now.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but that's again what we're talking about. It's, you know, the interest rates are being raised to try to dampen people's concerns about inflation, and that's having the effect that, you know, Kendall pointed to. When you do that, it's affecting the housing.
Well, and again, I mean, the housing problem is there aren't enough houses, which is a whole different problem, right? I mean, we can talk about interest rates and mortgage rates and all that inflation and all those other things, but the real problem in housing is there aren't enough houses.
And in part, that's because of, you know, what happened in the Great Recession when, you know, it was a housing, you know, crisis, and a lot of builders went out of business, and a lot of people who made livings as construction workers said, I'm not going to do that again, you know, and you can't blame them.
Yeah. What else? What else did you take?
So you mentioned employment. So although the employment market is remains pretty strong, as Dave said, creating all those jobs in the first quarter, and still we had 300 some thousand jobs that we added in June, and we're still getting reports from the Labor Department on initial claims for unemployment insurance, and that's kind of an early indicator of unemployment. Unemployment rate is 3.6%. It's been that way for 4 months. That's the second lowest in 50 years. But the initial claims we're seeing for 15 weeks in a row that it's been going up. We had an all-time low in early April, and this latest number was, using a four-week rolling average, it's the highest we've had since November. So there are signs there that some employers are maybe getting a little less reluctant to let workers go. But it's still, again, in the realm of record territory. So it's still healthy, but it's looking weaker.
Everything goes in cycles,
yes.
Right?
You know, I was very interested in that consumer confidence number on there. You know, we talk about that quite a bit with the University of Michigan's mm-hmm. Numbers as well every month. And it's fascinating to me to see it be at an all-time low, yet consumers haven't stopped spending. I think that's a strange conundrum. Usually that's associated with consumers quitting on spending because they feel so lousy about their finances or about the economy. And here's a situation where we're at an all-time low and sentiment, yet we're spending like crazy.
Right. Yeah. It's a show and tell thing. They're telling us that they don't want to spend money because of the high prices, and they're showing us that we had a report today that came out from the Commerce Department showing that in June spending went up 1.1%, and a lot of that was inflation. If you take inflation into consideration, the spending rose 0.1%, but it still rose. And Dave and I were talking about this before. I think even if it's spending because of inflation, so you're getting less for what you're putting out there, you're still putting money out there, and that's good for the economy.
Kendall, you had a Chinese proverb that we were laughing about earlier that applies to half of what we've talked about today. run it by me again.
Yeah, of course. So it's Three Men Make a Tiger is the name of it. I don't know how old it is.
Can you do this in Mandarin, by the way?
No? I don't think I'd be working here if I could. So it goes, if one person tells you there's a tiger roaming around your neighborhood, you can assume they're lying. Two people tell you, you begin to wonder. If three say it's true, you're convinced there's a tiger in your neighborhood and you run for your life. I think what I pulled from that was the constant back and forth. You can go to any media outlet and everyone is obsessing over the second consecutive quarter of negative GDP, right? And I don't know if that's the right question to ask, whether or not is this a recession? Is this the right definition? No, this is. I think the question, at least from an investor standpoint, is do I have a plan, and does my plan factor in that recessions are a natural part of the business cycle? And you should expect them to happen. Not everything is going to be 08. And I think naturally, because that's still relatively fresh, that's where we go. But
it's exactly the point too, right? I mean, we can talk about whether there's a recession or not, but isn't the point that if people have jobs, they spend money, and if they spend money, then corporations make money. If corporations make money, then stocks go up, right? So you get a week like this where you're just kind of trying to say to yourself, well, what really happened, And unfortunately, most people really don't know because they aren't paying attention to the right stuff. But they're the people, they're the people yelling the loudest, and other people get influenced by that. So I think in the short run, oftentimes we're too pessimistic or we're too optimistic. If you step back far enough and get a handle on what's really going on, you're going to have a lot more sanity.
So is there anything in particular that you point to in somebody's portfolio to say, see, yes, we've got recession factored in here?
So that's a good question. I think it's about, let's keep this at the broadest level.
Yeah.
Just had a phone call an hour ago. Hey, should I be buying now? So always a good question, right? Well, first of all, I've said this for months. I always kind of think the market in this context makes sense for the S&P around 4,100. Well, that's kind of where we are right now. So you're like, well, first of all, I like to buy things cheap. So no, not a great time to buy, I think. You know, and also, why are we where we are and what might change? You know, and I think it's a little bit early to say, hey, we had a good week, everything's fine, you know, because we still have all these issues out here and a lot of issues we haven't talked about. There's still Ukraine and there's Taiwan and there's a bunch of other nonsense going on. But I think it's wrong to get carried away because everybody had fun this week. You know what I mean? And I don't mean to be bringing everybody down, but I was also the guy saying when everything's bad, it's not that bad. You know, keep your head in the middle and look at stuff that matters. And right now the market's at 4,100. You know, I would guess that we're going to have some bad days before we find solid footing in a certain direction. And if you really want to buy, I'd encourage you to wait for those days. You know, now there's some risk you might miss it, and there's some risk I might be wrong. But I think 1 week's worth of, you know, 3 or 4% gains, when really the underlying context hasn't changed all that much, it's just dangerous to draw those conclusions and make decisions based on that kind of stuff. I'm going to remember that, Kendall. I like that. Maybe a good place to end things. Busy weekend. It's a beautiful day. Go out and have fun. Be safe. We'll be back next week to do it all again. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.